How was your day, my darling?
Well enough, Jitterbug.
George stepped through the front door, passing his hat and coat to Betty, who hung them on the stand. He kissed her cheek and winked.
I sold 4 new trauma policies on my rounds, so that'll keep us for a good while. Only the best for my baby doll. I tell you, Betty, this war is a blasted business, but it's certainly good for insurance.
Betty beamed and took his arm, leading him into the lounge.
You really are the cleverest thing, darling.
She smiled at him adoringly.
My goodness, you must be beat. Rest by the wireless for a bit. Your pipe and slippers are waiting. Dinner's almost ready.
Betty called the children from their homework, humming to the music as she danced around the kitchen, laying the table.
My, you're a hep kitten, Jitterbug,
said George, leaning against the door frame with a smile.
You're as pretty today as the day I met you.
Oh, shush,
Betty blushed. From the day her husband had stumbled endearingly, snow-blown and sniffling with the flu, to the drugstore counter she tilled, Betty had never once pried into his thoughts. It delighted her. She didn't need to. The man was an open book, uncomplicated and kind. His genuine and perfect mediocrity was the very thing that kept the fires of her heart burning for only him.
It's just this new moisturizer I have,
Betty deflected.
It really is a miracle. All of the ladies love it. Actually,
Betty turned away, biting her lip.
I have to visit the Seymour girls tonight after dinner to help them with colors. They're getting all dizzied up for the church social next week.
She turned back, pleased the lie was done with. Inwardly, she forgave herself for it. A small boy with nutmeg hair and freckles sat down at the table, stuffing a paper comic under his plate. He helped himself to the peas as his blue-eyed sister, 6 years older with her curls and ribbons, pulled up a chair beside him. Betty lay the pot roast in front of her husband and handed him the carving knife.
George Jr., Nancy, did you wash your hands and faces, dears?
Yes, Mommy.
They replied in unison, accepting meat from their father. George Sr. turned back to his wife with a slight frown.
You going out after dark again?
Yes, darling, but I won't be long.
He chewed for a moment, then raised his fork mid-bite, considering.
You know, Jitterbug, all this Avon business is not necessary. I pay the bills.
Oh, of course you do,
Betty supplicated, placing a hand on her husband's elbow.
It's not that at all. Goodness, no. It's just that, now that Georgie has started school this year...
The youngest family member puffed his chest as they smiled proudly.
Well, I'm at a loss for things to do. And you know how I love meeting my ladies. We girls will flap our lips at any excuse, and I just adore to make them feel a little ritzy. With so many boys drafted, they all work so hard to make do. I couldn't imagine what I'd do if you were called up, George. There's talk of another lottery.
Betty blinked back tears. George nodded pitifully, patting her hand back.
Such a big heart. I understand, Jitterbug.
He turned back to his dinner.
Just don't overdo it. I don't like to see you put yourself out.
Yes, darling.
After the children were in bed, and George was settled in his favorite armchair with a pipe and newspaper, Betty kissed him goodbye, picked up her oversized cosmetic bag, and left the house. She rode her bicycle along the quiet streets of New York and crossed the train tracks towards a darker side of town.
Avon Calling Radio Serial. Written by Haley Camille. This is a full cast dramatization.
Avon Calling.